This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And now for something completely different.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Strap yourself in.
Because we're set up, switched on and ready to go.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Right, Chris.
I was there when we were shit. I mean, I thought we got past those days, but apparently not. What a load of fucking shit was that? Top, you need to grow a pair of balls. If you want to be able to say that you are head now of this huge, huge corporation, then you need to grow a pair. You need to grow a pair and sack him. Okay, so it might cost you a bit of money. How much is it going to cost you if we go down? And we're going to look at the table later, and believe you me, we are not that far off going down. We have, you know, we didn't know what was going on in the summer. Top, that was your fault. You know, you should have come out and explained, but you hid behind whatever you were hiding behind, and you told us at the Man United game, which was the same game, or the game that was being played on transfer deadline day for the summer. So we couldn't really say much. But you know, we kind of understood it. We understood where you were coming from when you finally came out and explained it to the fans. But two new central defenders, a right winger, a left back. We said there should be no excuses after after that transfer window. And it looked like we were starting to do things right. We beat Villa. We beat Spurs. But that said, who isn't at the moment? So maybe that wasn't the big thing that we thought it was. The worst club at kickoff, the worst club in the league, have done the double over us. Just let that sink in for a minute. Done the double over us. We have played 25 games. We've lost 15 of those. We've lost more than we have won or drawn. A third more. 24 points. We are 3 points off the relegation zone, which is Everton, Southampton and Bournemouth, all on 21. I've got to be honest with you, if I was a neutral, I'd be having the time of my life because you've not got a dog in the race. The top and the bottom of the most exciting Premier League for years. And let me just say this. First of all, congratulations to Southampton. You've got to say, at the end of the day, they took the chance, they scored. They missed the penalty. They didn't let it get them down. This superb coach that we have, allegedly, was out-thought, out-tacted, that's not a word probably, but out-tacted by somebody that couldn't make the grade at Watford. And he was out-thought by him, outplayed by him. He was outplayed by Mikel Arteta when Mikel Arteta hadn't even got any experience as a manager. He was out-thought by a guy who was a standing manager at Bournemouth and wasn't even a manager. Oh, this is a great coach that we've got, isn't he? Do you know what? I was just looking here. The Leicester Mercury headline. And this was from earlier on today. Brendan Rodgers to be new manager to make success of Leicester City reset. We need a new fucking manager, Brendan, not you. You know, if we need a refresh, if we need a reset, it starts at the top. Now, you can blame the players. You can say, well, you know, they did this, they did that. And Kelechi had a bad game. Yes, he did. Jamie Vardy, impact sub. Is he fuck? He's a non-impact sub. He's awful. Let him go at the end of the season. Don't give him another season because he does fuck all when he comes on. 19 touches against Blackburn in 80-odd minutes. You cannot sack 15 players. It's impossible. You can't. So the only person you can sack is the manager. And it's the manager that has to make the decisions. He's the one that stands or falls by the decisions he makes. And at the moment, he's spending more time on the floor than a fucking prostitute on double time. I mean, I put this out earlier. I just want to say this sums it up. For me, this definitely sums it up. So, Victor Christiansen. Oh, he's injured at the training ground. 100 fucking million pounds on a training ground. All it does is injure players. We've got more people getting hurt at our training ground than Dr. Chipman had at his surgery in Manchester. Maybe we should employ Dr. Chipman. Maybe he could actually put some life into our players. I mean, fucking hell, what are we doing with them? What was wrong today, Brendan? Was the weather too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry? Like I said earlier, he was out-tacted by a coach who didn't last at Watford. We can't beat a team that Grimsby Town beat. Ask yourself where they are in the league. Go and check it. We can't beat the team that they beat. The bottom club do the double over us. No league goals in 270 minutes. No shots on target in 180 minutes. No fucking clue. Brendan, fuck off out of our club. I tell you what, I'd have Claude Puel back tomorrow. Yes, it wasn't the most exciting football, but you're telling me that is? And David Chapman, who came into the chat earlier, on when I was doing the watch along and said he couldn't stay because I was blaming Brendan. Who the fuck are you, mate? A, it's about opinions. And you didn't have an opinion, you just slated mine. And B, you're telling me that Brendan knows what he's doing? You are really saying to me, Brendan is the man to get us out of this. Look at that picture, right? That is not a daffodil for St. David's Day. That no. You know what that is? That's his clown flower. If the fourth official comes up to him, he beats his chest and it squirts water out into his face. Because he's a fucking clown. That's what he is. And look, you know, you don't think that we are in trouble. Look at that. Look at that. This was a game we could have won. This was a game we should have won. You know, West Ham got beat. Leeds got beat. Everton may get beat tomorrow. Bournemouth got beat. I've got to say, look, you know, Arsenal, yeah, I was a bit annoyed with the way they played against us the other week. But do you remember when Leicester sides never gave up? Do you remember when Leicester sides played and played until that final whistle? Well, to be honest with you, if you go back, you'd have to go probably go back pre-Prendon Rodgers for those sort of times. That's what is the difference between a team that's fighting for the championship and a team that's fighting to keep the shorts up. And we are not the former by any stretch of the imagination. We are fucking awful. Brendan needs to go. He needs to go now. Top needs to grow a pair of balls and get out there and sack him. I tell you something. I tell you what. I jokingly said this to Rob Tanner. I sent him a thing. I sent him that. And he goes, there's a lot of people saying much the same. I thought, I bet there is. Tell you what. Not only would I have Pro back, bring Peter Taylor back. Get Junior Lewis as an assistant manager. Could he do any worse? Brad, good evening.
Evening, mate. Thank God you didn't start this sentence with the word good evening, because there's nothing good about it, is there?
Do you know what? Okay, it's all yours. I've had my say. It's all yours.
Right, you know what's funny, right? And I can already see it, because I know there's people out there that are the ultimate optimists, and I implored your insanity having the optimism supporting Leicester at the same time, because it kills your insanity supporting Leicester, right? People are saying, right, will instantly come out and say, to us saying Rodgers out and those that are in agreement with us, right, they'll say, bet he was out there. Well, who's worse than Rodgers? Because there ain't many. Who's doing a worse job than Rodgers? Because there isn't many. And look, I will ever be grateful for where he's taken his club and you know, the journeys we've had with him. But I don't know what went wrong around 2021, 22, probably even just before that. I don't know what went wrong after that, them first 2.5 seasons, because he's just done something and he stuck to it and it stinks and it's doing my head in. Leicester City should come with its own health warning, because it's not good. When you're struggling, it's really not good being so passionate about a football club. It really isn't. Because it's just watching that. And, you know, they scored, Chris, and you're watching the rest of the game like, yeah, we know where this is going, don't we? 1-0 Southampton. I kiddingly joked in a pre-match post, which I usually do, to one of Southampton mates who went, you don't even need to turn up, you'll beat us. I said, congratulations on your 1-0 win with Jade Ward-Prowse goal. I was close.
You were close.
Sadly, I'm scared at how accurate I was, because that was the true me, and I think I might start doing it in the predictions, mate, because while they're showing me no faith and effort, I think I'm going to abandon my old blue tint when it comes to predictions with Leicester from now on.
Do you know what? I was doing the watch, as you know, I was doing the watch along. You popped in, and thank you very much. Like I say, for joining the membership.
Anybody? Oh yeah, no wonder. See, my phone's gave up. My phone's gave up. It's a Leicester fan. My phone. You can tell it's just gave up.
No, don't worry. It'll be all right on the night. It's not live, Brad. We'll cut that bit out. Don't worry. They won't notice.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If anybody wants to become a member, it's $1.99. I've merged all bronze, silver, and gold into one and made it all the bronze price. You get a few specials by joining, as Brad and Nate did earlier. Thank you very much. I said in that, we started off really well. At the start, I felt there's only one team in it, and that was us. And I said, when we started missing those chances, and I don't want anybody to say, yeah, but if Kelechi had scored a goal, it would have been different. Of course it fucking would, but he didn't. That's the aim of the game. And
yeah. No. What I know now, though, Chris, this is why it worries me even more, right? Because after that 20 minutes where we were in control of the game, did it feel like Leicester's necessity was we have to score in that opening 25 minutes to get the fans on their back to take control of this game? Because after that, I don't remember a sustained spell of decent pressure from Leicester. I really don't. And I'm sorry to say it, but Kel had a horror show today. He had a horror show. Not that anybody else was much better.
No.
He did have a horror show. It was. Do you remember that game against Man City when the old goal came up and he somehow put it 5 yards wide, which ironically gave them the title? Well, that was reminiscent of that performance and he had more chances. So, yeah.
Well, as I say, I said, you know what's going to happen, guys? And I don't know, Nate's not back in here now, but he will back me up on this. Anybody who was in the chat earlier will hopefully back me up on this. I said, you know what's going to happen? This was at 0-0. I said, we're going to miss all these chances. Southampton will get a goal and we'll go in at half-time 1-0 down. I called it. And what happened? I mean, I thought we'd got a penalty before that. I thought Madison was taken down. And I thought the referee pointed to the spot. I saw Madison smiling. I didn't realise it was a smile of incredulity because he didn't get it and he was pointing for a goal kick. And then not 2 minutes later, they got a penalty. And it was a penalty.
Yeah.
Because whether, you know, I don't know what you're supposed to do with your hands these days, but his arm was out. But the fact of the matter was it hit his arm and it went out of play. You know, it wasn't the fact that he was doing it on purpose, but it still put it out of play. It was a clear penalty. James Ward-Prowse stood up. Who's going to knock Ward now?
Well, some people still are, mate. Believe it or not, shockingly enough, there are still people out there saying Danny Ward's not a Premier League goalkeeper, but he made a very, very good penalty save. And the most disappointing thing about the penalty save was not what followed 4 minutes later. That was the number one disappointment, should I say. But the most disappointing thing was, I was sat, knowing what I know now as well, right? I'm sat there thinking, looking back at that penalty, I'm thinking, that wouldn't have mattered if it was at the other end. It wouldn't have mattered if it had been Leicester missing that penalty. The momentum would have still shifted. You never felt that Leicester were going to take impetus in any energy from that. They were so lethargic today, even when they, and I know we'll get onto it, but in the 83rd minute when we woke up and started to attack them, when it was way, way, way too late, we were a lethargical game. And that is a concern. The team had no energy about them whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I called him there. I was talking to a Red. I apologise if he's in now. I can't remember your full name. It was Red something was his YouTube name. And he was sort of saying, get Vardy on. And I was saying to him, look, you know, 19 touches against Blackburn, a heat map that you could hardly see. It was like one bar on an electric fire, equivalent to a raging, you know, inferno. Yeah. I said, what's he going to say? He's had one goal all season. He came on and I didn't notice him. I think I saw him have about one touch. Let him go at the end of the season. Don't give him another contract because he's even bloody useless as an impact sub. Yeah, Daka's not much better. I can't, you know. But he would have run at that defence. Vardy, to me, I mean, he hadn't even got the energy to run on the pitch.
Chris, the thing is, this is like the third, fourth week in a row, and it's probably the 10th, 11th, 12th, 15th time this season we've ended up saying this. What the fuck were his substitutions all about? Right? Because this is what I was saying. I know you like to probably start on it when we do properly delve into it. And I'm kind of jumping ahead of the gun here. But we put out a positive 11 with a negative tactic. It baffles me. You know, 0-0, penalty scare, good save ward, doesn't change anything. 1-0, Southampton, half-time, no energy, doesn't change anything. Makes like-for-like changes, makes some baffling substitute choices, but then just reverts them into the positions for the player he took off anyway, so it didn't change anything. Continued to do that until the 83rd minute. Someone remind me how that's managerial niche of any level. Where's the badges? Where's the education? Where's the knowledge and understanding of the game that he's so-called learned and got the badges to prove that he's learned?
Don't you be calling our experienced, excellent British coach.
Experienced fucking oath, mate. Excuse my French.
No, you swear, mate. I've fucking been swearing all day. Half time, 1-0 down. It wasn't the best penalty. I mean, to be honest with you, that one move that Southampton had was absolutely, was a joy to watch if I hadn't been a Leicester fan. I mean, it split open the defence. The guy saw the gap. He ran through it, Alcaraz. It was 1-0. Half-time, Barnes come off. Yeah, he wasn't having a brilliant game, but then I say who was. Pratt came on. But he took... he took Tete off, moved Pratt over to the right wing, because he was on the left. And doing okay, I thought. In fact, I tell you what, he was the only player to me that actually showed any intent. And then he sticks Maddison on the left. Now, football's all about opinions, okay? And I'm not saying my opinion is ever right. I am but a mere fan of 60-odd years old. But I can only say what I think. And I think Madders is better playing in the middle where he can go all over and cause mayhem. So what do we do 1-0 down? We shift him over onto the wing. Well, all he wants to do is come in on his other foot anyway. Am I alone on that, or would you say I've got a point?
You've got a point because the man himself, Mr. Brendan Rodgers, even came out and said, you know, when we started getting a few players back, you know, just for a silly couple of weeks, because it's never long with Leicester with their training regime and injury list. But even he's come out and said it's better for us when Maddison's available to play in the middle. So why was he available to play in the middle and you deliberately put him out wide? This is what I mean, right? Normally, right? Because Leicester played in, what, a 4-2-3-1, whatever it was. 4-2-3-1, right? Yeah. They brought off both wingers for a centre mid / technically available to play at right mid, but essentially a centre mid, right? They took a right winger off for another striker. So you've got two strikers, you've got two centre mid players, two central defensive mid players, no width. So you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a very narrow approach. Maybe they're going to go to up front. Maybe they're going to stretch the play. They're going to take the defensive mids, push them in the midfield, and it's going to be like a weird 4-2-2-2. And against bottom of the league, Chris, right, I'm just going to quickly be able to show you here with some dots, hopefully. I'll see if I can just quickly draw up the dramatic changes, just in case you missed them to that standard and quality lineup. So we had two defensive midfielders, we had a three across the front, and then a one up front. So after all them changes, I'm just gonna quickly tap over here so I can hide some personal information.
Yeah, but please don't let any further.
I don't know if you can see that. You probably can't, which wastes me time. But look, there's no change in how we went about it. There's a back four. There's two centre defensive midfielders. There's width with no wingers. And then there's one striker when we've got two on the pitch. Oh, well, maybe that's why we got it wrong, Rogers. Because you don't change shit when you bring on the players.
Like,
what's the point?
Like for like. Mendy,
just like for like. It's just repetitive. It's boring. And honestly, Chris, honestly, I know I've said this point a few times during any show that we're on when we talk about Rodgers, right? Anybody who can't wrap their head around why we're doing so bad this season, go back to the start of the season and watch every single training video. They're only about two, three minutes max, right? So it won't take you long to get through them, right? If you watch more collectively, you'll soon realise that that's exactly how Leicester try and play for 90 minutes. Passing the ball, overhitting it, losing it to the bibs. And then the bibs do the same and lose it to the shirts. That's all they do every training session. Pass it into space and muck it up. That's all they've ever worked on this whole entire season. So if you all want to sit there and still come out and say that Brendan Rodgers doesn't take the blame, you have to put it on the players. Why? For what? What was this game week? Game week 25, 26? It feels like 56. It's been that depressing watching Leicester, right? And he's not changed a single thing on the training ground. He doesn't change a single drill. He doesn't change a single weight. He just muddles it around throughout the week, but it's still essentially the same thing. He just swaps the order that he puts the jigsaws in. It's ridiculous.
I mean, like I say, I haven't got anything to come back to you. I have to be honest with you, because I just agree with you. I've got to say, look, Christensen, I said it on the thing there. I'm surprised it took him 4 weeks to injure him.
You jokingly said it when we signed him.
Yeah, we did. Somebody with power at Leicester, and there must be somebody that's not got fucking balls halfway up their intestine that can actually go and look at it and go, what is going wrong? We've paid £100 million for this training facility, and all we're doing is literally injuring people. Like I say, have we employed Harold Shipman to bloody be our club doctor? Because I wonder.
I don't know who we've got doing it, but they're doing the job.
By the way,
vague memory. I didn't want to comment because I don't know it as well as you do. But God, geez.
Hey, from your neck of the woods, mate, Manchester, Doctor.
Oh, great. Then I'll move.
This is a great game, and this must be Brendan coming in. Tripe and onions, well, that's Brendan, isn't it? Backwards, sideways, and that's after going 1-0 down. Time to go. Jays, keep hitting the lights, yes, please. Players can only do the business on the pitch. It's down to the manager for organising the team. Look, you can argue that, you know, once those players cross the white line, the manager has little thing, but he does, because you know they're stopping for an injury for a player, they all run over to get the quick drink, and he's there and don't know what he's telling them. He's probably saying, come on lads, we're only 1-0 down, we can defend this if we play really well. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he said. And you cannot sack 15 odd players. You can sack, and as a manager he takes responsibility. We said no place to hide after the January transfer window. Suddenly we've got one of those players out for 4 weeks. I just don't... Somebody's going to look at it and go, what's going on here?
I think Brendan Rodgers, you know, sees the panic button, puts on his balaclava mask, 2 foot a player from behind, whips his balaclava off so the player can't see that it was in. And then he goes, oh, no, there's an injury to one of the players. That's my excuse for the week. I'm sure he must do it. He must disappear off training and they think he's gone home. He circles round, he hides in a bush with his balaclava on, comes out, tackles the player, takes him out, runs away, comes back in the morning like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Got injured by a mysterious attacker. I don't know, right? Today, at big parts in this game, this is the most worrying thing, because people that say, oh, the player's got to do responsibility, they're following the manager's instructions with one simple action. Do you know what I saw a lot of today? This. The ball would go out of play, or the play would go wrong that they're trying to execute, and 3 players would do this. What now? Mm-hmm. What do you want us to do? Because we just did it 3 times, it didn't work. Same again. Okay. They look to the bench. They just go, what? This ain't working. Anything? No? Okay, we'll try it again. I felt sorry for Dennis Pratt today, and this justifies my, you know, feeling sorry for Harvey Barnes on the left-hand side. Because every time Harvey Barnes got the ball on the left-hand side, fans would moan because he'd get it out on the wing and he'd do this. He'd go, oops, sorry, going back because I need to get the ball to face. I've gone too far. That's all Dennis Pratt did when he went on the left-hand side. Is he come and get the ball, he'd look up and go, Southampton, 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 Southampton. It was like saying Candyman in the mirror. You don't say it enough times and something spooky's going to happen, because he turned around and went, no, you have the ball. I ain't seen Southampton from me. It's bad luck. It was embarrassing. And it's embarrassing. And like I said, the quality of the players for the lineup was great. The passiveness, the defensive, the scared mentality that he sends them out with was shocking. I've seen more movement on a Sabutio game than I have from Leicester today.
I've got to be honest with you.
I'm more shot from target.
You know who the man of the match is that's been picked by Alan? We'll come to that later. But I actually messaged him back and said, are you sure you want to give it to anyone? Because I thought they were all that bad. For me, I've got to be honest with you, I would have given it to Dennis Pratt because I thought he did enough. And at least he was actually running at them.
What's a man got to do to nail down himself a place in this squad on a regular basis? He's been waiting in frustration. Do you know what really gets me, right? Some players have been left frustrated in a way by the brilliance during the majority. Mm. We've had a discrepancy, but some players have been frustrated by the brilliance of Vardy, Maddison, and on his day, especially Tielemans, right? And yet, Maddison's carrying the weight of the club on his shoulders right now, which is just evident because he's given him everything again. The one thing that lad doesn't need is a list full of responsibilities, right? Tielemans is now knackered and croaked and he's not interested in being at the club past May, so it doesn't matter anyway. Vardy has now eventually, you know, the magic's worn off and unfortunately he's back to his mortal state again instead of being immortal. And we've just got nothing to offer because we haven't given these players enough. And this is where you don't count your chickens when things are going well, because all of a sudden three of your nest move on. And all of a sudden you've got players going, well, we would have liked to stay, but we're not convinced that we're going to get time. And that, look at the time, Brendan, our contracts are up and we don't fancy being a Leicester player while you're here and not considering it with someone else. So
Nate says here, the ball crossed into Iheanacho where he headed the ball back across and everyone stood there watching. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the same one, Nate, but I said, I think it was Pratt that crossed it over. Iheanacho went up for it. It came back down. Not one Leicester player. I actually looked at KDH and he just stood there staring at the ball.
Yeah,
no thought about going in for it and maybe hoping for the knockdown or anything like that.
No, and that's instructional. And that is the definition of, it's almost the reverse. It's the anti of zonal marking in an attacking sense, because what they do is they almost zonal attack. A ball will come in from the left-hand side, like Pratt put in today, and the players won't move. Because they're told not to, because what they're waiting for is to just to fly at the ball and go, right, it's over me. And then the next player will go, well, it's over me. So he won't move. And then the player might think he's going to get it. So he takes two steps and he realises he ain't going to get it. So he leaves it. And then Iheanacho, because they're told to clearly pass the ball in the net, as if a striker's not allowed to shoot unless it's within 3 yards of the goal under Brendan Rodgers. Iheanacho plays a header across the goal, sort of hits him, so you could say it's a bit of a howler as well, I don't know. And because none of them players have moved, like you said, Chris, they've cleared the ball with ease, and it was boring to watch. It was so boring to watch. It was painful because there wasn't static movement. It was Sabutio football. I felt like if I flipped my phone hard enough on one of them players, they might actually move. I was like, ah, come on, move, get in the box. You, get in there, challenge for that ball. And it all just went, oh, it's ball.
Yeah. The crossing was awful.
The crossing was bad.
Did we go too mad about him too soon? He's trying to do. He could have, you know, there's so many times that he could have passed it, and yet he wanted to take that extra touch. And oh, he went out over the line. Maddison, Well, he's a great player. We know he is. But he wanted to do too much. He was there. He was, he was almost like he didn't trust his teammates because, oh, no, you, I don't give it to you. I'm going to have a go and have a shot here. And he, whoa, Skywards and what have you. Comes in. Good evening, Nippon. How are you? Oh, we'll see you, next week. CUNW, no, that doesn't work, does it? No movement, no fight, no nothing. Welcome to the We Lost to Southampton Club. Yeah, but we just lose to everybody, Nippon. You know?
Yeah, we're not special, mate, not like that. We just let everybody have 3 points.
I'm not sure what Luke was watching here, but I'm going to, like I say, everybody's entitled to an opinion. Come on, put it out there. You're entitled to your opinion. He thought they looked okay. We just caught it on the counter.
The thing is, we was okay until we got hit on the counter. I think there's a little bit in what's being said there is a little bit true, because even you agree, up until they hit us on that counter eventually get that goal, we were okay. Yeah. But that shows you the mentality. I mean, you talk about Maddison having pot shots. That's desperation. He's seeing the headlines. He wants to be that at least shows me passion from Maddison, because he's going, I want the headlines. I want to be the man that gets less to the point out of this game and gets our asses kicked and hopefully gets us onto a winner. And it didn't happen. But it's not going to happen with this style of play. It's just not.
Boris is in. How you doing, Boris? Got a party tonight. It's in the name. Seagrave is built on an ancient graveyard. It's cursed. Nate, yeah, it was the same one, Nate. Oh, I thought it might be. Where's our next points coming from? He who mustn't be mentioned won't want to get next week. He scored today. Luke, they had a game plan, like you said, zonal, but the players should think out of the box and go for it. James Horan, it's not out of one direction, are you? Lads, I was in the away end today and it was toxic. My dad took me to my first game in 2008 and that was as bad as I've ever remember seeing. After today, I'm convinced that we are going down. £30, I don't know if you... Do you want to give me £30? That's great. Chris, you are saying we lose to everybody, so do we win? Do we 3 wins... Chris, you're saying we lose to everybody, so do we. Oh, 3 wins in second. Sorry. But yeah. With you, mate. £30 a ticket. He pressed enter too soon. Please don't mention the phrase we were okay. We're an absolute disgrace. You know, the only thing that keeps my son, we were hoping to get a ticket because obviously I live down this part of the world and it's one of the games I can get to. And he messaged me this morning, said, Dad, tickets haven't, there's no spare tickets in the Leicester end. But there's loads in the home end. So I'm going to take Loz, that's his girlfriend, stroke fiance. Do you want to come? I went, I'm not paying to go and sit in the Southampton end and, you know. I went, okay. And the next thing I get is a picture, he's on the train with the drink and what have you. Hey, on our way. I'm thinking like, yeah, how did that work out for you, Sean? Yes, not. Look. As I've prelled back now, it was never this bad, was it?
Now, the thing is, I think it was actually somehow still painfully slower under Powell, but we actually had ambition and players that were still wanting to drive. And it's literally like Brendan Rodgers is sucking the life and soul out of this club. At least... I don't know, it felt like with Powell that he at least said, look, when you get the ball, go with it. But the best thing was to try and build from the back, you know, if we could. But if you saw the space, exploit it. Because there was a few games and a few times, not too dissimilar, is it? Do you remember, you know, you could compare the Villa win and the Tottenham win to the stay of execution of the Chelsea and Man City victories we got last season. I know Nippon's in, so I'm just going to say this right now. Should we just take the most painfulest 0-0, just send it in as a result and swap managers? We'll take Potter from his big pond and bring the big fish in into a regular-sized bowl, and you can have Brendan. I mean, I won't wish him on anybody right now the way he's going, so I don't want him here as our manager. But if Nippon's up for it, let's just call the whole thing off next week, 0-0, void the game, share the points, whatever it takes, and just swap managers at full-time. Instead of swapping shirts with any of the players, just swap managers at full-time.
Somebody said in the chat, and people are saying, oh, well, if you got rid of Rodgers, who's any better? I could say, who's any worse?
Yeah, exactly. That's my argument.
You what, right? Yes, would I have Prell back? Yes, because at least we were winning games, right? So I would take Prell back. Yeah, no, I wouldn't take Peter Taylor back, although the thought did cross my mind. I would certainly take Ralph Suthanol, you know, even if it's on a short-term rolling contract. I mean, after that, I'm struggling, but I'm sure there are managers we can approach whilst we are a Premier League club. Because if we go down, then our options are really, really limited. And I can't see us doing a Burnley and coming straight back up again. But there's got to be somebody better. And let's not talk Pochettino. Yeah, we love him, but he ain't going to come. So let's just get real. Let me just tell me your thoughts, and I'm just going to Google who's out of work.
I mean, that's the only problem you have. I think the only option is the double-edged sword is we're playing Chelsea next week. So if we lose to them and Brendan's still in charge, then he's not just not going to get sacked ever. He's immortal if that. If we lose to Chelsea, he doesn't get sacked. But the option to replace him, and look, I've always had a chuckle at him, and I can't blame him for making a joke, but I always thought Graham Potter, well, he's out of his depth at Chelsea, it won't work. And then this new owner came, and then it was just clear, it was just collateral damage. He was a cheap option for someone to throw money at, and just so they could. But he's the only logical option that you take. The problem is, we know what you're going to get with Potter. And it's going to be boring, scrappy games that we win. And this team needs a manager to suit the playing style that suits these players. That look, we've fallen into this false trap before with Puel, which is why we're comparing him, Chris. And that is that these managers that come in with supposed great tactical knowledge, they sit there and let the side do what they want for a year and a half, and then they slowly integrate their ways and they go between and they die off, and then eventually they go, right, stubborn, stick, no twist anymore, my way or the highway. And that's what cost Puel, and it's going to cost Rodgers, surely to Christ, it's going to cost Rodgers his job sooner rather than later. That's it. We need a manager that plays the style of football that we know's there, which is attacking. We need that manager. Would Rafa Benitez really do a bad job for 6 months?
Couldn't do any worse.
I know. But
he couldn't do anything worse. That's the thing. Like I said, give somebody till the end of the season. I mean, our UK says, hey, good evening, UK. Rodgers is the Prince Harry of managers. Oh, dear. When we see Brendan Rodgers on South Park, then we'll know things have got really bad. Do you think Leicester will vent? Well, we live in hope, Nippon. We live in hope. Thomas Frank, he wouldn't come. Why would he come? Why would he come? Bielsa, no, absolutely not. Mancini, again, why would he come? He's turned us down once.
No, that man's got an impeccable agent because he's been naff for years. I don't know how he's gone from Belgian to Portugal manager.
No, that's not Mancini. You're thinking of Martinez.
Oh, I thought he said Martinez. Sorry, I read it wrong again.
Sorry, Roberto Mancini. Hang on, let me just do that.
He hates Leicester.
Mancini.
even worse because he hates Leicester. It's the only club that was doing so. He hated his time so much at Leicester that after four games, he walked out to go and take the Florentino job. He went, stuff flame football. It depressed me that much. I want to go and manage. So I don't know. Unless he's forgiven us, I can't ever see Mancini being a Leicester manager.
Filbert Fox. I mean, it's a
I take him right now. Bring back Cousin Dennis as his assistant. Get Vicky Vixen in a job.
Sorry, no. Benitez has gone past his sell-by date. I would not even have him for 6 months. Okay, look, let me tell you who you would.
I would. He'll give them a freedom. He'll give them a confidence. He'll give them the Happy Gilmore feeling that this club needs. And then moving on in the summer.
Yeah.
Right. Do exactly, give them a contract like what David Moyes had the first time round. Give it to the end of the season, stick him on there, and then go and hire somebody that's going to be interested, because they're going to be far more interested in the job as a Premier League.
Let me get to the managers here that are out of work currently.
Go on, Adam.
So, and I don't know his first name, Kite, the ex-Brazil manager. No, Thomas Schneider, the ex-German manager. No, he's a good pick. Joachim Löw, the ex-German manager.
No, thanks. I don't want... No, because... No. He sniffs his own crotch. He's weird. I don't... No, thank you.
Pochettino, we know he's not going to come, don't we?
I'll take it next year, though, if we can stay up.
Please. I'd take him, definitely, but yeah. I don't think he would come. Luis Enrique?
I don't think he's got the right persona. He's not got the right persona for me. I think he's a bit of... I could be wrong. I could be mistaken with another manager, but I don't know if he's one of them.
He's the ex-Spanish manager who's just been replaced by Martinez.
Well, I don't know. It might be worth looking in.
Yeah. Now, here's a good one. Now, this is one that I would actually love to get, and I would say to Top, break the bank and go and get this guy, Thomas Tuchel.
He's available, but why would he come to Leicester?
Because he's not got a job. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but Pops isn't. So, but why would he?
Well, he's not going to go back to Chelsea because he absolutely hates Chelsea. And everybody thought, oh, he's going to wait and laugh at Chelsea. They'll come begging for him to take them back. Yes, he could get a bigger club, but no bigger club's come in for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, get it done now and, you know, next season guides us into the Europa League. I wouldn't mind him doing what he did at Chelsea and winning the thing. So why not? You know, I know he was a Champions League, but beggars can't be choosers, can they, Chris?
No, exactly. I mean, obviously, all these managers, yes, they're out of work, but they've got a lot of money that they got when they paid off when they got sacked. So, you know, Zinedine Zidane, he would never come.
I know, but I'd take it right now.
Yeah.
Might need to throw an headbutt.
Now, I don't want to...
Go on. Sorry. No, I was going to say, could use him to headbutt Brendan Rodgers out the door, if nothing else.
Yeah. Now, funny, and you know me, I'm not one to name drop.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you're not.
Oh, I am. But I was actually speaking to this guy on the phone the other day, Brian McDermott, ex-Reading manager. Ex-Leeds manager.
I'd rather Brian McFadden, to be honest with you. That's going back some. Bloody heck, no. Why not ring up Alan Kirbishley while you're at it? See if he fancies it.
He's got a job, I think, in the Far East.
We're screwed then.
Hey, who is available? Steven Gerrard.
I'd rather nobody be in charge.
Frank Lampard?
I'd rather nobody be in charge.
What a team! The super team.
We'd have managerless Frank Lampard, who's got no adaptability, and then we'd get Gerrard, who would teach the midfielder to slip. Great. No, I'm all right. I'd rather not.
Benitez obviously is out of a job, but Nathan Jones.
Do you want us to be relegated? the man that was out of his depth at the club that have just beaten us. The man that was out of his depth at the club that have just beaten us. Yeah. Okay, Chris, I'll see you in League Two, mate, because he'll take us down so quick.
Hear me out here. So if we do go down, he's got championship experience.
Yeah, championship experience. Like I said, you'll take us down so quick. We'll blink, we'll be in League Two.
You know I jest.
I know, but don't do that to me, please.
Bruno Lage, ex-Wolves boss.
Plays exactly what we're doing right now, so no thanks. You might as well stick with... That's probably one of the few managers I'll say you might as well stick with Rodgers with and actually mean it, because it won't do no different. That's all I played with Wolves.
Would you have Ralph Husenhall?
Why not? You know what we say about these managers? We give them a chance. What would you do with a bit more talent, a bit more money to spend naturally? He kind of missed out on that Southampton era. Let's see what we can do. He's available. He's probably the most obvious choice in terms of names to be linked with Leicester. Why not?
We said, didn't we, months ago, before he was still at Southampton, we'd take him. And it's, in fairness, Southampton to Leicester isn't that sort of jump that Potter's done from Brighton to Chelsea.
No, and he'd probably want an arc of redemption, wouldn't he? He'd probably want an arc of redemption to kind of...
Everybody.
If he comes in, if he comes in now and Southampton do end up going down and he comes in and keeps Leicester up, he's going to say, see, look what happened, sort of thing. Everybody, I told him to do it.
No, I've got it sorted.
Oh, God, here we go.
Sorted, Brad. Trust Uncle Chris.
That's words you should never hear and agree with.
That sounds wrong. Jesse Marsh. Forgot about him. He's going.
I nearly left the stream, but it'd be too much effort to leave and try and come back.
Honestly, what a threesome, Jesse, Frank and Stephen.
I'd say something, but viewer discretion would be way more advised. I'd rather have my eyes gouged out.
Right, I'm just on to page two now, and I don't think there's anybody further down. Well, there's Bielsa, but I think we agree on him, don't we?
Oh, yeah, can't wait to play exciting football and get smashed 6-0.
Andre Villas-Boas. Boas, do you remember him?
Yeah. I wouldn't even take him as a temp. I don't even think he'd be that good.
He was at Marseille up until... Oh, he's not had a job since February 2021.
No. What? Good, Bennett. What barrel are you scraping from? I'm waiting for you to say Tim Sherwood so I can punch in the throat.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I'm looking on Transfer Market.
We'll take Messi on the right. You mean for managers, not that sort of transfer.
No, I'm on page three. I might not go any further. Oh, again, another obvious one. But we don't forget Jesse Marsh. Forget him. Roy Hodgson. You know what? I'm giving you all these ideas and you're just batting them back at me. Don't know what I'm going to do.
Mate, by the time he gets out of his old folks' home and onto his Zimmer frame, it'll be the end of the season. He won't even make it to the first training session before the season's ended. Leave the old man alone.
Alex McLeish. I'm going to say...
While you're at it, mate, why don't we just get old Martin O'Neill back? Just sod it. Let's go full scale. Let's go full nostalgia, right? We'll get Kevin Keegan. We'll get them all. We'll love it. We'll get Shearer out to match the day office while we're at it. You know, we'll get him on the inside. We'll hire Mike Owen as a motivational speaker. That's what this club needs. Fuck my life. Where have we come to?
In fairness, it's not exactly a good gene pool, is it?
No.
You're looking.
I'd rather take my chances with Neil Lennon than any of them you just named there in that batch. I'd rather take my chances.
Actually, what harm could he do?
Well, the fact that he's not on the first three pages worries me as an option, but maybe I don't know if he's still in the Scottish League. I don't know. He had a bit of a little...
I don't think he is, to be honest with you.
No, he had a bit of a wild moment, didn't he, for about 6 months in yeah. Scotland yeah. with some team. So
the ones that appeal to... I mean... If we could maybe tie his hands together, Joachim Low,
No, I'd rather not. He's just weird. He's a weirdo. I don't like him. I
like the thought of Thomas Tuchel. I don't think he'll come to us. I really don't.
I honestly think you're piddling into the wind more than I am asking for Pochettino.
Yeah. What about Thomas Frank isn't going to come. Vincent Kompany, let him have the glory of bringing Burnley up and then go and pinch him.
No, he's actually got a thing called a brain. So he'll know this. He knows Burnley are in a Premiership hall, but mathematics, let's face it, the way they're going this season, it's going to take them up. It's his first proper job since Anderlecht, I think it is. He might have had one in between, I'm not sure. But no, he's got a brain, so he won't jump shit to get sacked 18 months later when we're 17th with him. He'll bring Burnley up and hope to be given the chance to prove his worth then. Maybe one in the future, I don't know, but it'd go against everything I say about these players getting straight into management. He's got to earn it still.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the others aren't really worth even mentioning. And I think Huthenhall, I'd give him the job and say, like, you know, keep us up, the job's yours sort of thing.
He's the most likely of names, isn't it? And that's a far contrast from where we were. If you asked Leicester fans after winning the FA Cup and you said to them, right, you've got no choice, Brendan's walking, he's bolted out the gate while the story's good. He's won the FA Cup, he says he's leaving Leicester. Who would want the Leicester job and who would go for? We'd be buzzing about trying to take a Pochettino, trying to see if we could bring Tuchel if he got sacked by Chelsea. Now we're a far cry from them managers, and that tells you where the bar and level is right now, being at Leicester.
Yeah. Nippon says our form has been shambolic of late. Do you want Potter gone? Surprise choice. He's not allowed to bring the player. Well, other than the players he wants, but players are being brought in he knows nothing about. Is it time for him to go? And you've got a friend here, Brad. Just Hannah. I might be biased because I still love Rob to bits. Rafa to bits. Sorry, Hannah. I don't know who Rob is. I still love Rafa to bits, but your man on the right is spot on. Depends which way you're looking at it. Hang on. So the man on the right is spot on. There we go.
It'd
be great at least till the end of the season. It can't, like I say, what we've got to say is not, is he any better? It's, could he do any worse? And I don't
think he really couldn't. No. He really couldn't, and that's the thing.
Red Devil is in. Good evening, sir. How the devil are you? It's never too late for a manager swap. Just ask Watford. No, it isn't, to be honest with you, because you hope that you're going to get a bit of a boost with the new manager thing. Come in, fresh ideas. Look at when they got rid of Sean Dyche, and they actually then just promoted somebody from below. My worry with that is, like I say, everybody below Brendan is all Brendan's men. But he might just let them off the leash, and it might just be enough to move us, you know, away. Martin O'Neill, definitely not. He's had his better times. If Roberto Martinez, I think we all agree we would avoid him. Luke, if you want to say that to Brad, then Nathan Jones and his stories from Welsh Hills. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer, to be honest with you, right? All joking apart, would I have Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer?
He relegated Cardiff.
Yes, but could he do worse than we are doing at the moment?
I don't know. Ask Cardiff fans.
But look what he did. He did better at Man United than Wreck-It Ralph or whatever he was called.
Oh, I'm sorry. Stepping up from Fraser flipping Campbell as your lone striker to Rashford might help you achieve a bit more than you did at Cardiff. Jesus, no.
Because the new Nigel. I mean, we don't know what managers are out there that. But I mean, if we're going to get somebody that's in a job, they're not going to
go for Graham Potter. Honestly, if we can somehow pull off a miracle and not lose next weekend, I know I say miracle, get Graham Potter. He's proven at this level with Brighton.
Wait. Yeah, but he's not going to leave Chelsea. We have got the answer. to all our dreams. James, why did we not think of it?
Oh, James, piss off, mate. I'm not in the mood.
You know, this is like therapy, really, isn't it, for us?
James, come on, mate. I mean, at least I was... I mean, at least I showed sympathy towards you in your front line part. That's just cruel and unusual, mate. I'm not in the mood for this.
UK, because Luton and Leicester both start with an L. Perfect fit. No. Anthony agrees with you, Benitez. James, Huthenhall is a shout. That's if he wants to come back to the Premier League soon. Mike, still fuming, had enough of BR. Well, BR and his bullshit. BS, exactly. Nate.
Bloody rubbish.
We just need to stay together now and keep fighting. When I see the team like tonight, it gives me confidence. The worry is you're not creating chances. Is that what he said, is it?
I wonder why they're not creating chances, Brendan. Sabutio football is your game. And losing is the next. I said that wrong, but you know what I meant. You know what I meant. God, he's broken my brain, Brendan Rodgers. Congratulations. I'll take the job. If Brendan Rodgers gets sacked,
you couldn't do any worse, mate. I'd back you. You couldn't do any worse. Sam Allardyce out of retirement. Again, could he do any worse?
It depends on Allardyce, what tactics he's going to go. Is he going to be creative and do some things that he knows he can do when he's got a team of some calibre? When he was manager of Bolton, he played attacking, fluent football, and he looked brilliant. But when he had lesser players, it's Allardyce long ball. So if he's too old and can't bother to mix things up and get his out rate going again, then I can't see it being a good appointment.
No. He never got a chance at Leicester, did he?
Yeah, he did. He was awful. Paulo Sousa was dreadful.
Six games.
So, you know, he was the equivalent of... I know it was during that period where we were the original Watford and we were sacking a lot of managers, but he was dreadful. No, he was well out of his depth at Leicester. It was similar to Rodgers. He tried to get us to play a style of football, which ironically probably would actually fit us these days saying this, but... with a poorer calibre of squad in a division where you get torn to pieces and, you know, in the Championship, you easily see most games back then were getting 15, 20 shots a game and we were playing a way that our defence was getting crucified. Yeah. I wouldn't have him back anyway. He's a terrible manager.
UK says, rocking a dressing gown on the football live stream. Legendary.
Because Leicester sent me to bed, mate. I need my therapy after this. I need a nap and a lie down, mate. That's why I'm all comfy.
Don't know why you were debating about the manager. What about those players who gave such an appalling performance, showed no pride in our club shirt, can't forgive mistakes but energy, effort, no. Jack, we did say earlier, and it is the problem, I do know, because people aren't always able to come in at the start, and we know that, you've all got lives. The problem we said, as I said at the start, was you cannot sack 15 players. Every club that's sacked the manager, the players have got to take some of the blame. Of course they have. But we can't sack 15 players.
Unless you're Chelsea, probably can.
Oh, no, but yeah, but what, all joking aside, the way you
can
drop them out of the team, but you've still got to pay the wages, so you can't afford to bring 15 more in. And at the end of the day, the book, I always say, the book stops with the manager.
Yeah.
I've been an area manager for sales, and if one of my staff for one of my shops was not performing, I was being asked, why isn't it? What have you done to sort it out? And I might say, well, this guy is not hitting his targets week in, week out. So they might say, well, are you supporting him? Are you so it does stop with the manager always. The manager is sacked, you shouldn't touch him, he was sacked for a reason. Which one are you referring to? We've named a load today.
Yeah, the problem is there's this gnarlier manager out there that hasn't already faced the sack. And I think there's a manager sat in the Premier League right now that hasn't been sacked from a role in his job. I hasten to add, if there has been any. I'm not just talking the Premier League, I mean in general.
Yeah. But we can't sack the players. We know the players are bad, but they do what they are told. And like I say, if you want to go out and sack 15 players, you come on here and tell me how you would do it.
Please, and tell me how you're going to replace them as well.
Exactly, because I've no idea. I've no idea. That's why the manager goes. Indeed, Trypan.
I'll take him. Yeah, I'll take him. At least we play 4-4 flipping two, as you'd say, Chris. At least, well, as you say.
Funny you should say that, and I can't find it at the moment. But here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, England will be playing 4-4 fucking two.
There we go. we
needs a Leicester edit over that, that does.
Yeah.
You need to do that, Chris. You need to do a Leicester edit for it.
Yeah. Ranieri, no. He was sacked for a reason, mind you say. Why can't players be sacked? I think we've just explained that.
What's going to cost the club less? 15 players sacked and then rehiring and then hiring 15 players, which you can't do and can't register because the laws just won't allow us to do that. So we'd be relying on our under-21s, who are bottom of their league. So that says enough about our development at the moment and where it's at. So sacking 15 and trying to rehire 15, and it would be players, like I said, you won't be able to use because it's a registration system, or sacking a manager. And to those questioning the players, I understand it a lot, but you've also got to remember, this team used to run at teams until they were told not to. This is why we say the buck always stops with the manager, because it's all well and good saying, oh, but they can do better than that. They know that, and they want to express that. But he's the one that puts them on the pitch. He's the one that tells them what to do when we're on that pitch. He tells them, this is how I want you to try and win this game of football. So they do what they're told because he's their manager. Whether he's getting paid, whether they get, you know, it's just one of the very few businesses where the wage structure doesn't really bother it. It's not who's earning the more most that's in charge. It's who they tell you is in charge. And if he's telling you to go out there and pass it slowly, keep possession of the ball, try and knock it quickly and get him behind every so often and hit them on the counter, then guess what Leicester are going to do? They're going to do that. And you can see that with the passes. How many passes yet again today, Chris, did you at least see? And did anyone else see where the ball was played either in front or behind a player who was already static because he couldn't make up his mind whether the bloke was going to pass him a forward or a backwards one? How many times did Tete have to run after a ball that wasn't hit well enough towards him and already play on the back foot? That's the thing that the manager takes the biggest book at. And we've seen what these players can do when they're given the freedom to play their way.
Yeah, and again, Boris, I mean, if players knew they could be sat, they would play better. Maybe they would, but look, they sign a contract. We pay 15, 20 million. I mean, we've gone from a team that was able to pay 40 million, 30 million to players that can now only afford 15, 20 million for players. Still a lot of money, I grant you. But we can't sat them. All we can do is try and sell them. Who's going to buy them at the moment? You got Madison. You got Tielemans. Well, we're not going to get into Tielemans anyway. Madison will get some support. But we just can't say to these players, right, you're not playing now, because we're still paying them 80, 90, 100 grand a week, you know. I tell you who I... And we're going to move on from managers after this, because I started it as a bit of a joke. But we have to have this live. And fair enough, because our manager is a joke. I've got to put this, everybody that joined late, I'm going to put this back up. If you ever wonder why we've got a clown as a manager, look, there he is. He's got one of those flowers on him. He's got water out of. David Moyes.
Yeah. What about him?
Would you?
No, because he's just West Ham's the only club in this division we have something in common with. An incompetent manager that won't change his ways, that keeps getting his players injured with his hideous training regime and can't string a run together to save his life. I mean, I don't want to bring it up, Chris, but since you mentioned it, everybody thought West Ham playing Brighton after they just spanky doodled a team 4-0. And what did I say? Yeah, they're going to get their own taste of it. They're going to get battered by Brighton because they can't beat Brighton in the league. They never have in the Premiership. And lo and behold, 4-0 came round, smacked them in the face. Oh, well, it might have only been 1-0 against Southampton, but it was just as painful as slap man in the face.
Yeah.
So, the one chance to break a hoodoo for Leicester, the one chance to take points when everybody else has dropped them. There you go. Cough, back to where you go. No thanks. But West Ham have got a bad enough problem. They can keep their problem. We don't want to swap problem for problem.
Nate's got the answer there. I'll back either of you as manager if you're with me on the staff. I'm majoring in sports psychology. I think we all need a sports psychologist to work out why we're following Leicester.
Nate, I'll bring you in as team therapist, mate. Don't you worry. You're in. You're in.
Not Manuel Pellegrini. Problem is, you see, I don't know enough about football. Brendan obviously doesn't, you see. That's the difference.
I don't know. That guy's looked about 75 since he was about 30. I don't know how old he is anymore, Pellegrini.
Yeah. Is Vardy finished or just used? I think he's finished, to be honest with you.
He's done. And like I said, his immortality has been rescinded by the gods of the footballing world. They've removed his immortality. Now he's not even a shadow of his former self. He's barely a glare.
But again, is that him or is that the guy above him? You know.
Yeah, right, so exactly.
Says, why not just admit they are crap? Leicester City are crap. There you go, Mrs. Davis.
Yeah, we're crap. There you go. You got the bingo card. We're just crap.
Exactly. Okay, so let's have a look. I know you're not a huge fan of stats, but we're going to have a look at them anyway today. I know it's painful, but you know, bear with me. Let's take that off. There we go. So have a look at that, because now this is score.com, but it is independent. It isn't done by fans or anything like that. Oh, look, not one of our players got in the top five best players on the pitch.
Shock horror.
I know. Kelechi got the most. I can't even be asked to play Nacho Man.
Because he don't deserve it after this.
No, he didn't do anything with it. Tete, we've been knocking him, but look, and indeed when he came on, fair play to them both. They both got the most tackles in.
Yeah.
Dribbles, just Ricardo Pereira. Let's have a look here. This is the attack side. Leicester in blue. Look at that, 11 shots, one on target.
Look at them, 11 shots, one on target. So shouldn't that technically be two on target for them? Because the penalty was on target, it was just saved.
But it just shows you that one, don't you? And we've gone 180 minutes without a shot on target.
It's just, the more you say, Chris, the more depressed this result makes me. Please stop.
180 minutes, mate. Not one shot on target. 270 minutes, not one goal. Victor Christian, I'm just looking.
You've depressed me that much. You've just reminded me of a name that, and it's one of your Leicester special saviours. Of course. Why did I not think? If you can get Mark De Vries to score in a Leicester shirt, surely you can get Leicester winning. Surely it's time to bring back Craig Levine. We've got that bad. There we go. We've hit that level. There we go.
I can go one better than that, because Mark De Vries himself is currently a manager.
Oh, well, great. Damn. Oh, damn.
Oh, dear. Oh, that shut you up, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, that made it worse.
So there's our attacking. 44 down the left, 36 down the right, 20 down the middle. Shot direction, nothing from the wings at all, virtually, as you can see. Shot zones, 0% in the box for the second week running.
Which was the area where we tried to get it to walk it in the fucking net. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. You know, in the first 30 minutes, 41% was in Southampton's third.
Sure about that, because I don't remember it.
No, well, I only know it because it came up on the screen. But now let's have a look at this, because you know I love this one, my heat maps.
Yeah.
So, that's the whole team. So it does look like we actually had, well, we did have more possession of it, didn't we? But we had 826 touches. Southampton had 536. That's the most touches without actually putting it. Now, Jamie Vardy came on in the 75th minute.
I don't remember, mate. The game was a blur to me.
That's his heat map. Don't know if you can see that.
You get more heat off a map from the South Pole.
You do. Now, Barnes, who was taken off, that was his heat map.
Oh, look, stuck and spinning on a spot as soon as he gets an air off, because that's what he was told to do.
Yeah. Look at Tetti. Yeah.
Says a concerning amount about what he's getting instructed to do when there's slightly warmer, cold area is in the defensive half, doesn't it, Chris?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, when your wingers are picking up that beat.
That's Mendy.
Oh, look, yeah, the man who can defend that line and try and push forward, doing it exactly there with that map. Well, at least we know one player can do the role that Brendan says he can.
And that was indeed it.
Oh, look. Indeed, he came in and was straight line defending, and then was the straight line defence in their half. Yeah, it shows what he can do. So at least he knows what his central defensive and fielders can do.
And there's Pratt, pretty much doing his job.
Yeah, look, I'll go up and down, up and down, up and down, and then I'll get the ball over here to quickly run across down in their half, just so I can run up and down, up and down, up and down on the left. Oh. Yeah. Like I said about Pratt,
nobody is.
Yeah, exactly.
Dewsbury Hall.
So far, any deeper, mate, and you've been playing as a third centre back. This tells you, I mean, that really piddled me off. Why is our second most creative player on the pitch practically playing alongside the defence? It was annoying to see that heat map.
Yeah. That was Piera.
Did Pierre have a brick wall in his way? Oh, no, sorry, my mistake. I was thinking he couldn't get past it halfway line, but he couldn't because we passed the ball so slowly around the back that the poor left and right backs were left barely getting into their half. Okay, that explains that.
That was the Stanyers.
Yeah, he managed just a little bit more forward because he tried it a little bit more on that side.
Yes, yeah.
This is stark, isn't it? We're an absolute mess.
It is very, very... not good news at all.
Obvious.
But so you know what? Let us do a little bit of a player rating, shall we?
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
Right, that worked. I had to zoom in and take the camera off so I could see all the things you're bringing. I can't see.
All right, mate. Don't worry. We'll be back and do that straight after this.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
Look at that, perfect. What timing? What timing?
It's like you've been practicing and the more you've done it.
I don't waste my days, you know. Right, I'm going to keep quiet because the old echo is back. I'm going to let. Can you say Danny Ward has come out and said, highly frustrating?
I'd be pissed off if I was him as well.
I don't think those are the words that I would use. But let's have a look then. Let's see where we go. Let me just get it up here. And we'll start with Danny Ward.
I'm going to give him an 8. He saved a penalty, and he was probably our third best threat from that 93rd minute corner.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you messed this up, didn't you? So you got all cocky and confident, thing now you've really got to mess up the screen. Yeah, that's karma for you. That'll teach you. He gets an 8 from me, yeah. I mean, the goal, but there's nothing really he can do about that. Defence split and pass. He's left one-on-one. So, yeah, saves a penalty. You know, I know he got nowhere near the cross into the box in the end, but, I mean, he was up there. He was as good a shot as any to score with the way they were playing. And I can't keep talking about it anymore until you sort it out. Because, yeah, I'm just going to give him an 8, mate. How's he managed to do this, guy? How's he managed to do this, folks? The one job he has is set everything up, do all the hard work and donkey work, and just can't get it right, can he? Anyone think he's got 300 pictures loaded and it's just simple clickety-click? Gordon Bennett, you can't rely on the staff these days.
Do you know what? The thing is, Leicester Mercury have a habit of changing everything round at the last minute.
Yeah, I just saw the words Brennan and Sacking and got excited, but now I remember it was the old headline.
He asks a favour of the fans. Fuck off.
Yeah, we'll do a favour. We'll all chip in together to get your taxi out.
There we go. Okay, so you are going for... Oh, where is it?
You've lost it.
You are going for eight for Danny Ward.
Yeah, I think the poor sod deserves its day. He did everything he could, but he still couldn't get Leicester on the winning end.
Yeah. Do you know what, though, Brad? As hard as I try, I always feel like it'd be like losing the answers when you're doing a quiz.
Oh, dear. All right.
Sorry, mate. You knew that was coming.
I've had a few good jabs in it, both you and Steve over last week or so I'll let that one go.
He got a 7 off Leicester Mercury, off our Jordan. Ricardo Pereira.
He tried. God loves a trier. Bless him, he tried. I don't think he did much wrong. The way we played, that just ruined it for him. He can't play his natural game, get us forward as quickly. He should be supporting Tete, not the other way around. I'm going to give him a 7, though. He didn't do that badly. He was just restricted by the way Brendan instructed them to play. And the way he instructed them to play was passive. So, yeah.
Got a 6. We do know there's an echo, folks, so, which is why we're going straight. Harry Souttar.
Didn't do much wrong. His height is... great for us in defensive tackles, but it does worry me when a centre back's got to make a last ditch tackle to try and stop an attack from happening.
He nearly got beaten.
You what? I know, but it's been so long since we've had like a Steve Walsh and a Matt Elliott or a Jerry Taggart in that box. Probably Robert Huth was the last one. I know he scored a handful of goals for Leicester, but he was the most clinical from that range. I suppose in a weird way that allowed Wes Morgan to get a couple of goals as well. I was kind of hoping Souttar would be able to do the job at both ends. I'm asking too much for a bloke that cost 15 million from bloody Stoke, aren't I, Brad? Well, I don't know why I'm expecting to be brilliant at both ends, but Kenny wasn't bad. I'm going to have to give him a 7.
Got a 6 off Jordan. That was 8, 6, 7. You know, it's there and thereabouts. Phase.
Again, it's not like he did anything wrong. He didn't make any disastrous tackles. It was fairly sound. In reality, for what Southampton actually offered to going forward, it makes it even worse that we lost to them, if you really think about it. He gets a 7. Didn't do anything different to Souttar.
5 from Jordan.
Okay. I thought he'd get them the same because they do the same job. Castagne. I've got to mark him down for the penalty. I have to, because I know he's sliding in, but you don't need your arm doing that. you need your arm close to you, then you get the benefit of the doubt. You know, if it hits in when his arm's there, they're going to overturn it. They're not going to give that. And I know it wouldn't change the game because they score from open play anyway. You might argue that it could have changed it not being given in the first place, but you're thinking too far out. So I'm the realm of the hypotheticals. Again, I can't blame him for the poor management in terms of tempo. Denied him the better part of his game. He wasn't on his favourite side as well because of Christensen being injured. Shock horror there. But I'm going to give him a 6. I've got to give him a 6 because it was just... I know it didn't cost us, but it really should have. It really
5
should have.
Papamendi.
Did his job for the limited ability that Leicester had to get forward, because every time they turned to phase, they'd allowed 7 or 8 Southampton shirts to get behind. So we didn't really see much of him in that attacking press, but he tried to clear up the jobs well enough. Probably wasn't involved in his secondary role as much as we hoped. So sturdy enough job, did okay. It's a 6.
Yeah, 6 off Jordan as well. Dewsbury Hall.
I don't like him as a central defensive midfielder because he did okay and he did a reasonable job, but he's absolutely wasted there. He should be a playmaker. He should be in the middle of the park receiving the ball, facing the opposition. So before the ball's, by the time the ball's at his feet, he's already 10 yards into their half and he's running at them and they're backpedalling. That's how you get this team on the front foot with players like him. Absolutely wasted a CDM. Having said that, I think he did just a good enough job in that role as Mendy, despite it not being a position he should ever be finding himself playing in. I'm going to give him a 6.
Got 4 off Jordan.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him for that. And I'm not going to be harsh on Jordan today. I'm really not. Me and him are going to be on speaking terms today for this because I don't. Sure, that's not his position. That's not his position. That's not a role we should ever envision such a creative spark in midfield as Dewsbury Hall should ever have to play.
No, you're right.
Why was Mendy not on at the start if that was the case for me?
Madison.
People might hate me for this. But again, I can't really blame him. I'm going to do a Jordan with the rating here to make the sense here. He was dragged from left to right and was basically told that the middle of the park, his strongest area, was basically like the lurking. He couldn't go anywhere near it. He tried to get in the game. He tried to win us free kicks with his twists and his turns and his flailing legs like them players do in that position. But he gets a 5. Brendan Rodgers forced him out of the game, so he didn't really do much. He was out on the left. He was out on the right. What's a creative attacking midfielder doing there?
Got 6 off Jordan. Tete. I
feel like I'm on repeat, Chris. It's giving me a bit of a migraine. But why is a right winger playing as a right wing back? Because I saw more of Tete picking the ball up just like 5-10 yards outside our own box off Ricardo than I ever thought I'd see off him. He's a right winger, right? We signed him to play as a front in that front three, right? He lined up with Madison in the middle and Iheanacho in front of him, right? So why did he spend the majority of his time on the pitch being asked to get back and help defend and pick up the ball and try and drive us forward 10 yards inside our own half? It confuses me. A lot of these players were screwed by this passive nature that Brendan has us playing, where he's all hands on deck and every man for himself, defending for their lives and nobody within 2 yards ahead of the box. It's woeful and it's stifling players that have got such great creativity and potential in them. He gets a 5. Because what he's paid to do, he wasn't allowed to do. That's why I'm giving him a 5.
Yeah. 4 off Jordan.
Again, I can't argue with that. He wasn't allowed to do the job that we technically pay him to do.
Iheanacho.
My poor child. Our poor child, Chris. We thought he grew up and then we saw Bambi and we saw him going out towards the eye. So we screamed and stopped and it happened in slow motion for the day. Oh, you said Tate Peeler's name, so I guess you said, oh, it was like watching fucking Bayern have about 20 chances at Liverpool. You remember that cursed game? And we lost like 3-0 or 4-0 to Liverpool, and Akin Bayer missed about 7-1 open goals. It felt like deja vu, and I was nearly sick. He got in positions, and he was the only one that actually moved in the game of Sabutio / musical statues in the attacking sense for Leicester today. But you just sat there and went, oh, no, don't get bullied by the kids when you go into school tomorrow after all them chances you missed, bless you, because you tried. At least he tried. I was going to give him a 5 or a 4 because he was so horrific. And sympathy wants to give me a 6. So I'm going to stick in that middle. I'm going to sit on the proverbial fence and give him a 5. I think he deserves a 4. No, I don't know. I think he does deserve a 4 because it's shocking chances to be missing. No, it's a 4, Chris. I can't let sentiment get involved. It's a 4. He missed shocking chances. He really did today. He had a proper hacking by in front of goal, I'm afraid. And I love him. You know I love him to bits. I really want him to see Leicester. I have since he signed. So it hurts to give him a 4. It really does.
Del Boy's in. What the freaking crack, Del? How are you doing? Good win.
I haven't even got the heart to do an Irish back to you there, Del Boy. Just the bleeding story with Bournemouth. I haven't got the energy, mate. Leicester's depressed me, but I hope you're well, mate.
4 to Kelechi. Got 5 off Jordan.
All right, Jordan, I'm meet you in words, mate. Sorry, I was just... Harvey Barnes?
Yeah.
Did he play?
First half, apparently. Well, he was on the pitch.
Could have fooled me. You know, you talk about a one-man team. I don't think so. I think we're a two-man team. Because we clearly need Christensen on the pitch. Because he doesn't trust anybody else to play that style. It actually baffled me a little bit. Because when I actually saw Castagnier on the left, I thought, okay, not his favourite side, but he'll attack like he does on the right. And we've got Ricciardo on the right, so we know we're going to get attacking on the right. How stupidly wrong was I? But it completely left him for dead. You know, I remember at big parts in that game, so the likes of Maddison, Iheanacho, I mean, it didn't really matter, but Vardy, when he came on, Harvey Barnes in that first half, they had 3 or 4 Southampton players around them. By the time the ball even arrived at them, let alone in an attacking, threatening area, he gets a 4. He had nothing to do. He couldn't do anything. He stopped seeing the ball after they scored.
Well, he got a 3 off Jordan.
I can't argue with it. He was pants today. He was the biggest sign of lethargic energy. He seemed to have nothing about him today.
Just quickly running through Pratt, Vardy and Ndidi.
Pratt gets a 6, put the effort in.
What Jordan gave him.
Ndidi gets a 6, did the job that was asked of him.
Got a 5 off.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm not rating Vardy. He didn't offer anything. He didn't do anything. He's not been used right. I've told Brendan before, don't play him if we're losing. Play him when we're 3-0 up. Let him have a run out. Let him try and get a bit of confidence, sneak a goal when we're absolutely battering teams. Don't play him with that. No, don't even give him a 1, Chris. Don't. No, he doesn't deserve a rating. He doesn't get one. No, he doesn't get a 1. He doesn't get anything. He didn't contribute anything. He didn't offer us anything. He didn't even give us that energy on the pitch. He looked exhausted. He looked fed up with trying the same thing over and over again. And Vardy's score epitomises where Leicester are right now. 0.
Fine. Your decision.
It pains me, mate. It really does. Well, some of these players to give them such low ratings, knowing what they're capable of.
Well, okay. That is the whoopsie-daisy.
Just out of interest, what did Blackwell rate him, or did he not look?
Jamie Vardy got a 4. Bit of sentiment there. Last question. We're up to an hour and a half, and thank you for this. I did see a very good question earlier that I highlighted. I was in the away end, no matter how bad we are, constant booing and chanting negative things ain't going to help the team. Oh, 1 second, I'm reading it. Ain't going to help the team or give them any confidence, especially booing when Brendan applauded us at full time. Brad, is it not that the fans can show the displeasure?
Are we not allowed to be unhappy with what we've just seen then? So are you asking all the fans of Leicester that love this club, that have seen this club through ups and downs, and whether they've not, we've got new generation, old generation Leicester fans, it doesn't matter how long they've been supporting Leicester, are we supposed to sit there and watch our team play bottom of the bottom team in our league, right, and play that effortless, that gutless, and that passive, that it's almost like you could play a game of Where's Leicester? You know, like Where's Wally? Well, the Wally's in the dugout, right? So don't worry about that. But Where's Leicester? They've gone missing. They're very difficult to find because that's not the identity that Leicester have come to grow and build a reputation around. But we're supposed to go and sit in the stands and go, we lost to bottom of the league and didn't play and didn't have a shot on. No, they're going to feel how it's absolute daylight robbery. And I know you haven't mentioned it, and I'm sure you forgot because it's so disastrous. But that doesn't deserve a man of the match tonight. I would give it to anyone who paid any form of money to go to that game. I don't care if you was given a free ticket and paid £4.50 because you live in Southampton to get on a bus to go to the game to pick up a ticket. You deserve a man of the match award for turning up to watch that tonight. And I thought I'd let you bring it in because you didn't bring it up. Give me a segue to use it into it. But if you're telling me we have to sit there and clap no matter what, then I'm sorry. I cannot agree with you. Now, your opinion fares. I get it to a point, but you just cannot. But does it help them going off the pitch and you, oh, we've lost. Oh, but at least the fans cheer. No, I want to go off. If I play a sport, right, and I've played well and I'm frustrated with the result, I want to be able to walk off and go, I played well myself, but I'm still pissed off because we're lost because we didn't play well enough as a team. I don't want to have people going, well played, you played really well today, but you lost. I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't play well enough because we didn't win. I want to know that, and I want to be able to. I don't want to walk out to a stadium again and ever hear fans being like that as a player. I want to go out there next week. I want to go out there the next day, right, and play the next opposition. I don't want to wait 6 days. I don't want to wait 2 days. I don't want to wait 24 hours. I want to play them as soon as we get back to the King Power. I want to say, Chelsea, you meet us outside King Power. We'll kick off our game now because we're giving you a pasting for that. That's how I want my players to react to a fan's reaction. I want to see it, and I want to see it from the man who gives them the instructions how they play. That's what I want.
Got to argue. And
I'm hard to argue with sometimes.
Because I'm echoing, I'm gonna wind it up now. Brad, while I just load something, just tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, come. Find me here usually, but if you want to follow me doing more rants and talking more football, go and check out my YouTube channel. It's called Top 10 Battles. Legend is Chris here. He puts the link in the description. So if you are new, do check that out. On your way down, make sure you like and subscribe to this channel as you go and check out the links. But yeah, support, show support there. And if you really want to follow me talking football all the time, on Twitter is the best place to find me. My Twitter handle is @FullTimeFocus. Yeah.
Well done, mate. I will see you Monday night at 9 o'clock for the debate show.
Hopefully we're debating who's our new gaffer.
Would be nice. Have a good one, mate. Take care.
See you later.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Yeah, do go and check Brad out. Top 10 battles. It's football with a difference. It's trying to do something a little bit different. I do know there's an echo. It's Brad, because if you notice that if I'm with somebody else or on my own, there's no echo. Is there an echo now? I don't think there's an echo now. I just don't know what we can do with Brad. It starts off okay, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. Just as we go through, I really say don't know what to say, but. Let me tell you something. This
coming up next on Leicester Till I Die TV.
We're going to do something a little bit different tomorrow. Yes, the watch along for the Bahrain Grand Prix. We are starting it. We're trying it new. And I think the Grand Prix starts at 5 o'clock UK time. So we'll be start going live at 4:30. We've got some nice graphics to show as well. So hopefully just a little bit different. Let's just forget the football. See you tomorrow at 4:30 for that. Thanks to everybody that was in the chat. If you've been new, please subscribe. Whether you're new or you're not, and you subscribe or you're not, please smash that likes button. It basically puts this channel on the home pages of when people go onto YouTube that aren't following us. And they might just see it and go, "Oh, let's have a look at that. And, oh, he's an extremely handsome young man. Let's follow his channel." Yeah, they wouldn't think that, would they? But you know what I mean. But so liking it helps. And if you want to join, $1.99 for the membership. You get exclusively for discounts on Leicester Till I Die merchandise. You need a code for that. You get that off me. You get sort of join the community, the YouTube community, and you get posts and questions and things that are just for the members, not for everybody else. They're every couple of days. And if you ever want to come on a live show, let me know in advance and we'll do our best to get you on a live show at first choice. And I think there's a couple of other things as well. Can't remember what they are. $1.99 a month. That's all it is. We had gold. We had silver. We had bronze. Now we've just got the Fox membership. But the cost is the bronze, the same as the bronze. Good God, it's 10:30. Match of the day must be on. Yeah, I'm not going to bother watching it. Thank you to everybody who has been watching on Leicester Till I Die TV, Twitch and YouTube. And if you have been listening on Catch Up on the podcast, thank you so very much. That is Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for lending me your ears. I'll be back tomorrow. If you like a bit of Formula One, if you don't, I understand. But if you do, I'll see you then. Take care and take it away, Arnie.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That's all, folks.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.